Good morning. This meeting is now in session. My name is Angela Ryder, and I am the chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy. It is Monday, July 10, 2023 at 9:02 a.m., and I'm calling this meeting to order. Folks on this video conference, please mute yourselves until it is your opportunity to speak, or if you've been called upon, to eliminate any distractions of background noise. The chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy reserves the right to change the order of items published on this agenda, except for public hearings set for a specific time. During the board meeting, and upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorneys pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in an executive session may remain in the boardroom when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will only take place in open session. Mr. Augerton, will you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member Tapscott?
Present.
Board Member DeRoost?
Present.
Vice Chair Moon? Chair Ryder?
Present.
You have three present, one absent, and one vacancy.
Thank you. Item number three on the agenda, pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during the public meeting that is subject to a reasonable time. The cutoff time is 2 minutes and will be timed by the board staff. Place and manner restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issues within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that the matter be put on a future agenda. Be advised that a call to public is not an opportunity for testimony for cases that are being reviewed by the board and, again, must be within the jurisdiction of the public body. Do we have a call to public? Please raise your hand on the teleconference if you do. And it appears that we do not have a call to public at this time. Item number four on the agenda, board members should have had an opportunity to review the board packet sent out by the staff. Are there any conflicts of interest regarding any of the cases or investigative reviews that we are conducting today? Mr. Tapscott.
Thank you. Yes, I have to recuse myself from case number 23035A.
Thank you for that. Item number five on the agenda, we received the open meeting minutes to review from our meeting on June 26, 2023. Are there any questions or discussions to be had regarding these open meeting minutes? And there are not. I move to accept these open meeting minutes from June 26, 2023. May I have a second?
This is Board Member Tapscott. I second that motion.
And board members, we shall do a voice vote to approve these minutes. Please unmute, beginning with Ms. Bailey DeRoost, to voice your approval or opposition.
Oh, I approve.
Board Member Tapscott, I approve.
Chair Ryder, I approve. The motion passes. The meeting minutes have been accepted. Item number six on the agenda, upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law. We currently do not have any formal interviews today or formal hearings. We do have some investigative reviews, but I want to start with Case number 23044, Jiafeng Wang, MT26684, letting the board members and the public know that this case has been continued until our next meeting on August 28th, 2023. At this time, I would like to move to go into an executive session to obtain legal advice from the Attorney General's office. Mr. Augerton, if you wouldn't mind, please creating an executive session code to send out to the board members, and it should be pretty brief.
Madam Chair, that has just been sent to each of your emails and to the Assistant Attorney General that we have on the meeting as well.
Thank you.
If you look for that, that has been transmitted.
Okay. So on the teleconference, we will withdraw to chambers and we will return shortly.
Hey, Tony, do you know, did Tom just send it to, like, my email address? Or
yes,
he
did.
Okay, so check my office email.
Yeah.
Will do. Thank you, Tony.
Hey, Mark, this is Tom Augerton. You'll need to leave the screen that you're on and mute and turn the video off and then accept the link that was mailed and open that one for the e-session. And you're muted, so I can't really hear you, but...
Hey, Tom. Tom, I'm still waiting to be let into the executive session, just so you know.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Did you get the email yet?
Yes, sir, I did. I've clicked on the link. I'm waiting to be admitted by you.
Okay, I'm waiting to, for some reason, I'm not getting that.
Okay.
Let me go back over there, and I'll try that again.
Okay.
All right. Board members, welcome back. Assistant Attorney General's Office, welcome back. I first would like to apologize that I did not ask for a second when I moved to go into executive session, so I would like to take care of that now. I had moved to go into executive session. May I have a second?
This is Board Member Scott. I second that.
And a roll call vote, please, Mr. Augerton.
Yes, Board Member DeRoost.
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon.
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott.
Aye.
Chair Ryder.
Aye.
Four ayes, one vacant.
The motion passes. We are now back in our regular meeting. It is Monday, July 10th at 9:19 a.m., and we are continuing on with our investigative reviews. In regards to case number 23-044, I move that the board staff and investigator subpoena employment records for all current employees of the establishment in question. They've indicated they have hired an individual that was unqualified to perform bodywork services. I'm requesting that we get employment records, including massage therapy licenses and reflexology certificates for all current employees of that establishment.
This is Board Member Tapscott. I second that motion. I think that's extremely reasonable underneath the circumstances.
And can we get a roll call vote on that motion, please?
Sure. Madam Chair, Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
4 ayes.
The motion passes. Next on our agenda for applications requiring public board review is case number 23-035A, LaShonda Jackson Topps applicant. Ms. Jackson Topps, are you present at this meeting?
Present.
Thank you. Investigator Elson, would you please provide a summary of this license application for the board and for the public at this time?
Yes, Madam Chair. Hold up for you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my screens are jumping in and out saying video pause. On January 12, 2023, applicant applied for initial licensure as a massage therapist with the board. Applicant disclosed on her application that she had been convicted. It's jumping. Hold on just a second. That she had been convicted of a class 1, 2, or 3 felony and been convicted of an act involving dishonesty or fraud, misrepresentation, or gross negligence. Furthermore, the applicant was denied a level 1 DPS clearance card. Based on that information, the board conducted an investigation, and according to the District Court of Alaska in case number 3AN076142CR and the applicant's own admission on October 19, 2007, she was convicted of felony fraud and theft in Anchorage, Alaska. According to court records, a final disposition and complete dissolution, the case was closed. Since that time, applicant has received her level 1 a good faith exemption and received her level 1 fingerprint clearance card on May 15, 2023.
Thank you for that. Ms. Jackson Topps, would you like to make a statement at this time?
Yes, ma'am, I would. I understand the decision to grant the massage therapy license is not taken lightly. I believe I do deserve the opportunity to overcome the challenges that I have faced in life just so I can achieve my goals. I also know that back then I was young, I was dumb, had a crowd that I was trying to follow. This was my first offense, my last offense. I have never been in trouble any time after this. It's been 16 years. I've never been convicted of another charge. This is the first time that you all have seen me on the board, and this will be the last time that you will see me on the board. So I'm just asking, I am a responsible adult. Now going forward, I am a good judgment type of person, and going through now for everything else that happens in my life, I do think through all of my consequences of all of my actions.
Thank you for your statement. Do the board members have any questions for Ms. Jackson Topps at this time? All right. Based on the information presented at this meeting and contained in the investigative report and upon meeting all license requirements, I move to grant license and issue a letter of concern as proposed by the board staff and contained in the investigative report.
This is Board Member DeRoost, and I'll second that.
And a roll call vote, please, Mr. Ogerton.
Yes. Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
He's recused.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I forgot that. Madam Chair?
Aye.
3 ayes, 1 recusal, 1 vacant.
The motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Our next case, application to review is case number 23-42A, Marissa Gehrig. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, correct.
Thank you. So I see that you are present at the meeting. Investigator Elson, would you please provide a summary of this license application for the board and for the public?
Sure, Madam Chair. On March 20th, 2023, applicant applied for initial license as a massage therapist with the board. On May 15th, 2023, information was received that the applicant was charged and convicted of shop between March 24th, 2019, I'm going to summarize, and August 15th, 2019, applicant was charged with shoplifting in Tempe, Gilbert, and Chandler. She was denied of a one fingerprint clearance card. She completed a detailed good faith exemption packet with DPS, and on March 21st, 2023, DPS granted the good faith exemption and issued her a level one fingerprint clearance card. On May 17th, I spoke to the applicant who admitted to the arrests and convictions. Applicant also provided a copy of her good faith exemption for her level one fingerprint clearance card.
Okay, thank you for that. Ms. Garrett, would you like to make a statement at this time?
Sure. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you for all of your service. And I did not know that this was a service, so I just wanted to say thank you for being here. And I am honored to be here as well. So when I was denied the level one fingerprint clearance, there was a couple of charges that were that they wanted to know about. And there was three charges back to back to back. So at that time in 2019, I was not in a good place. I was addicted to drugs and I was homeless. And I know I only have a couple of minutes. So I filed for good cause acceptance back actually in 2021 because I was working in a behavioral health field. And so when I applied for my license, my massage license, they had asked for new fingerprints. And so I just went ahead and did the new fingerprints. And so then they sent me like another card. So I actually have two cards. Little did I know that I could have saved $65 and had the massage license just be active on that. So I just wanted to do my due diligence. However, when I did get the denial, it didn't necessarily say felony. It just said these charges we need to know about. And so, of course, I invested into getting, you know, all the reports and all that stuff sent in so I could work in behavioral health. So then I got another card in 2023. So I love massage and I love what I do and I feel you know as if I have put in the work. I'm a woman of integrity today. I am in recovery and I'm just grateful for the opportunity. So I don't really have anything else to say, so thank you. Okay.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Do any of the board members have any questions for Ms. Gehrig? Mr. Tapscott.
I don't know if I have any questions for Ms. Gehrig, but I do tend to trust the fingerprint clearance card system. I think we need to. We use it. And so I think that the fact that Ms. Gehrig is able to obtain one is a very important thing for us to all consider.
Thank you. Anything else? All right. Based on the information presented at this meeting and contained in the investigative report, and upon meeting all license requirements, I move to grant licensure and issue a letter of concern as proposed by the board staff and as contained in the investigative report.
Mr. Elson. I'll second that motion.
Yeah, and Madam Chair, members of the board, before we vote, if I could just ask the board to consider modifying the letter of concern. My understanding is the convictions were for misdemeanors and not felonies, and that they occurred, in Maricopa County. So if you would consider modifying the motion, I think that would be appropriate.
Modifying how, Mr. Harris?
To reflect that the letter of concern will be for the misdemeanor convictions that took place in Gilbert, Tempe, Chandler. And we can certainly work with board staff on making those modifications to the letter of concern.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'd like to amend my motion to, based upon the information presented at the meeting and contained in the investigative report, and upon meeting all licensure requirements, I move to grant licensure and issue a letter of concern that reflects the charges that were obtained in Gilbert, Tempe, and Chandler as proposed by board staff and the Assistant Attorney General's office and as contained in the investigative report.
Vice Chairman, I'll second that motion.
And a roll call vote, please.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but Investigator Elson had his hand up. I just want to make sure he didn't have to add something before we take a vote.
I was going to do the same thing that Assistant Attorney General Mark Harris said, is that the proposed language is not correct. It should be, the proposed language should be for the convictions in Maricopa County for various shoplifting charges between March of 2019 and August of 2019.
Cool. Thank you. I just want to make sure it wasn't additional information.
And a roll call vote, please, Mr. Auberton.
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Four ayes.
The motion passes. Congratulations, Ms. Garrick.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Next on our agenda, item number 7, we have our very own senior investigator, David Elson, to provide us with a monthly status report of incoming complaints to the board and investigation being processed with law enforcement.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There was 16 new cases in the last month. Between the last board meeting and this board meeting. Five were closed administratively. We received 90 sets of new fingerprints. We processed 130 former fingerprints, and we have 75 outstanding awaiting DPS.
Thank you for that. And while I have you, Investigator Elson, I'm hoping that you could maybe give the board and the public an update on a couple of previous cases. Do you have an update on the case regarding Christopher Esteen?
Yes, I've got calls into Goodyear. I'm trying to get the detective to testify, but the criminal case has not gone forward yet. And he's actually listed on public access as a fugitive from justice. So it's my understanding that he skipped out on bail.
Thank you for that. My next one, that if you have an update, would be Raul or Ochoa.
Yes, I've spoke to the detective handling the case with Gilbert. She has approximately, instead of just one that they arrested him for, she has two in Queen Creek and at least two in Gilbert at this moment. I've got a call in to one of the victims to come trying to expedite that for me. She said it takes up to 16 weeks to get a copy of the report. So I'm waiting to hear on that. But I did check this morning. He is still donating County Orange in Maricopa County since his arrest, so he's not able to practice. He's still in jail.
Okay, thank you for that. And my last one that I'm hoping to get an update on, we heard back in March, was the case with Seth Bradley, a massage therapist, and the complainant was asking for a refund.
They continued it to allow the complainant to submit text messages between them. I finally got all those text messages, and his case will go to the August meeting.
Perfect. Very good. Thank you for those updates. Item number 8 on the agenda, we have our Executive Director's Report featuring Executive Director Tom Augerton.
Hi, thanks, Madam Chair and Board Members. intended transition to a new database for the Arizona Massage Board is on hold, and I would say probably on hold indefinitely. At a meeting 2 weeks ago after our last meeting, there was a meeting conducted by the Department of Administration with the various regulatory boards and commissions that have been involved with this fairly extensive conversion from their existing databases to a product known as Thentia. We were briefed that day on a virtual format that of the 28 boards and commissions that were intended to migrate per the state legislature and the executive branch, at this date only 4 have been migrated successfully. The remainder of us have not. We have hired a consultant that is working with other boards and commissions named Gould Intelligent, and our first priority is triage, which we do all the time and unfortunately have to do it well. Right now, we no longer currently have the ability for digital licensing because at the end of the fiscal year, we ran out of the digital licenses provided by Adobe, which we were never budgeted for, but we had to procure when the DOA group license for digital licensing expired. The contract relationship between the Massage Board and Adobe goes until September the 30th of this year, and we have done the paperwork with the accountancy department to get additional digital licenses, which should come on board hopefully this week, to restore the ability to do digital submission. When that contract ends at September the 30th, it's our intent to renew it for the remainder of the fiscal year. With Thentia not being a credible success, not only from our experience, but I think the experience of the other boards and commissions, the purpose of hiring the technical consultant is to migrate the board's database, which is on a Department of Administration server, off it, which is closing, so we have no recourse but to do this, and to migrate it to the cloud. And by the way, I'm using all this terminology as a second language, so I'm repeating things that have been said to me by people whose aptitude is immeasurably above mine. And the cloud environment that our database would be migrated to would meet federal standards for the integrity of the information not being compromised. So that's the number one priority. The number two is to get digital back up online. The number three, since the database was purchased by the department, by the massage board back in 2013, then the product was developed in 2010, we own it free and clear as opposed to the Thentia product, which would have been an annual leasing arrangement. So with monies available in the current fiscal year, the new fiscal year, that had been intended for Thentia, and I should say parenthetically that the board paid $46,000 last year up front, which it was directed to do, not quarterly payments, but a single upfront payment. We received virtually no work and no product as a result of last fiscal year's submission. So the monies that the legislature have appropriated this year for Thentia, roughly $63,000, will be used to provide the digital licenses for members to continue to work with our website and for the consultant to migrate us off the closing server at DOA. And then the existing architecture, even though designed so many years ago, has a whole spectrum of capability for tracking investigations, administrative cases, disciplinaries, and so forth, which I'm sure all of you painfully remember was a major deficiency identified by the Arizona Auditor General during the performance audit. So we're going to reactivate that section of the dormant software that we currently have and own and use that with the investigator to do reporting to the board and reporting on the website for ongoing disciplines that are public and so forth. So I think we're making some lemonade out of the situation, but again, there are these inconveniences for the licensees who would like to be able to not have to download a PDF, not have to make a physical copy, not complete with an ink pen, and not have to put a postage stamp on it and send it to the board. And this is the second time, really, in the last year and a half, that we have victoriously returned to how things were done 15 years ago and returned to paper licensing. So I'm glad we have it, but it's certainly not industry standard, and it's certainly not what the industry has a right to expect. So that's the latest on Femtia, the little engine that might have. Most of you, I think somebody has a question. Mr. Tapscott.
Yeah, you explained it really well. Do we have, what happens if somebody, I'm thinking of massage therapists, what happens if somebody renews on their birthday, right, the day it's due, and now they have to mail it in? I mean, how do we have a policy about that? I just don't know.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Tapscott, here's the real problem with renewals, especially people that have been renewing for many, many years. Everybody can renew 60 days early.
Right.
The mechanics of renewing late really put the LMT in jeopardy in terms of expecting a board with one licensing official to be able to respond and simultaneously let you know when you're going to be renewed and so forth. It was better before the level one card, but now with the level one card, even though those are turning around quickly, many folks don't go to the board website and are not aware of current renewal procedures. So we always send those in the email that we first receive from the person trying to renew. And then they then begin the process of going out to get the level one card. So if you were to ask the question, are there more renewals which are interrupted by break in service during the renewal processing, the answer is yes. I would say the number one reason is the level one card. The number two reason is going back to paper licensing. And then number three, by not availing themselves of the 60-day advanced opportunity, we find everybody crowding through the revolving door as the bell hits at 5 p.m. It's just mechanically a problem that we don't currently have a solution for. With a digital submission, obviously their input would be received the same day. Now, we do advise, and you guys could help with this, instead of mailing it, email it, and we'll have it the same day.
Oh,
and that's, you know, but that's it, somewhat equivalent to the digital. Remember, in a world of automation, which we don't live in, that everything ends up with the licensing official, whether it comes U.S. mail, email, or digital, where they're all hand keystroked in by the gentleman on the Brady Bunch panel to your right. So it is unfortunate, and I'll make a 10-minute speech at the end about what I think licensees have a right to expect. But that's, I mean, the short answer, Mr. Tapscott, is that I really wish people would take advantage of the 60 days in advance, because it enables them to submit. If anything's missing, be informed they have a deficiency, then augment what they may have forgotten. And I hope everybody knows, and we say this all the time, but renewal fee is not renewal. That is part of the equation. You get an authorization number. But the reason you fill out that application form is that it's a legal affidavit. And there's many, many key components on the form which actually protect the integrity of the state licensing system, in addition to if a member does come before the board and you're hoping to issue a subpoena or gain information for the Attorney General's office, we have to have a credible address and contact information. So I know it's a nuisance every 2 years to go through this, but it does protect the public, and it's required by statute, too.
No, I renew 60 days early the minute I can. I agree with you about the concept, but we've kind of set a precedence where for a while there, people could renew and get a renewal day of, and so they start to get used to that. And so I was just wondering but it sounds to me like if they paid and emailed in the proper stuff day of, that they would they'd be legal. That's my question.
Yes, Mr. Tapscott. And then a reminder, which is grim, but I have to do it for you, is that if you mail something to us, you're 2 weeks older before it gets here. Because like all good large governmental organizations, 3 weeks, yes, he holds up three fingers. He's telling the truth, which I wasn't going to admit to. But like all bureaucracies, the mail legitimately does go through security protocols and it goes through processing and distribution. But it does take three sets of hands in order to get your envelope to finally the one licensing official at your state industry's regulatory office. So the next issue, we kind of covered at the last meeting, but I'll do it just briefly again. As you know, the Auditor General did its sunset performance audit, which is available on their website, and copies were sent to you. And then they did their six-month follow-up. Copies have been distributed to you already, and, of course, it is available at their website. So we are done with them currently, but not in compliance, which is the reason at the last meeting you were going to be hearing from Jessica Ross, who is the outside consultant we've hired to do the board's first policies and procedures manual. And she'll be scheduled for the next meeting to review two policies which you quasi-approved but need to be finalized. And that is the executive director having the authority to close investigatory cases where there's no reason to bring it back to the board. And then the duration of a state license being 2 years. And I think we discussed at the last meeting, and I can't get too much into this because it's not posted, but the birth date, which has been used by the board since 2003, based on the research of the consultant, is going to be recommended to you for a continuation. So it's been the procedure at the board since 2003. The computer software is coded. Everybody knows when their birth date is, and it seems to be a useful mechanism. So it's our intent to recommend that to you. The next issue is interesting, and I'm going to ask for your help on this one as well with some thinking and some ideas. We have been approached by the Governor's Budget Office with a request to raise all licensing fees. And there is an algorithm that is used to determine how much financial adequacy should be in a regulatory board revolving fund in order to have sufficient funds to operate the board and then relate back to how much the industry is being charged for services. Ironically, I can tell you that the board used to charge more for fees in the past than it does presently. Although if you were paying us based on performance, I'm afraid we'd be getting bus tokens instead. So, ironically, the state revolving fund for the massage board has about $1.3 million in it. So the board could actually operate for 3 years without fees being charged during that period. But they do not feel there is sufficiency, and they want the fees raised. And as other boards, I don't have a complete side-by-side comparison, but as other boards go, we are at the very low end of what we charge the industry. So, for example, a new license, the 217 and the renewal, the 97, not counting, of course, the bank transaction fees, which I believe is still at 250. The project to do this review is going to be provided with us for the effort for the Governor's Budget Office by CSB, the Central Services Bureau, which, of course, is part of DOA. And when they make specific ranges of recommendations, we're going to bring them back to you. I'm going to say this in open mic, knowing that the OSPB will be aware of it and our respected colleague, Mr. Aldis. But when you deliberate to raise the licensing fees for your industry colleagues, I'm going to make the unrequested suggestion that when the board increases the fees, perhaps you consider doing a delayed enactment, because although in the last year we've increased spending by $100,000 for software, which so far really hasn't done much, that's terribly impressive. And this is a 10-second speech I promised you, Mr. Tapscott. I would believe if people take a time out and you look at the importance of the massage industry in the state of Arizona, whether it's for tourism, the resort industry, the mom and pops at the shopping centers providing shoulder relief for the soccer mom, the specialized applications of working with autistic children, post-traumatic stress, opiate addiction, post-oncological surgery, the importance of the people doing these health applications, the importance of the jobs provided in the state, the importance of the money to the state economy, I think should bring this board to a position of enough is enough. You cannot run an industry regulatory board of about 10,000 licensees with one licensing official. if anything were to happen to Tony, a state lottery, a second wife, some other thing should follow his path, we don't have anybody cross-trained to pick up the responsibility. I just think it's fine. We've been quaint on this. We've been patient. It's all kind of colloquial. You know, we complain. You know, we think it's part of the landscape. I just don't think it's professionally acceptable anymore to have a critical industry to the state of Arizona with so little infrastructure. So therefore, my 10-second speech, which became 10 minutes, is that if you increase your licensing fees based on an analysis by CSB and you later take a formal vote and you recommend it on to the governor's budget office, that in fact you figure out some way to get some type of commitment, even if it's a political commitment, but at least a financial analysis which recommends and recognizes, you want to do algorithms, 10,000 licensees should guarantee a minimum number of state FTEs. And I don't think 3+1 recognizes and confirms a serious regulatory relationship with a very important industry. So in order to raise fees and to have the votes among this body to support that, I'm going to suggest to you delayed enactment until after our budget request is submitted in September and we get some type of reaction from the executive branch with regard to the requested monies. Or if somebody has a better suggestion of how to draw attention to this, but I just don't think seeing the frustration on a daily basis from people who are working and making money and now can't work for a week or two because they can't renew their license. I mean, and a lot of these things, you know, we have new legislation, we're attempting to comply with it, we work with DPS and so forth. But what is a credible number of state employees from the monies that are available or the monies that would be increased to be available to support the industry? That's kind of the question I'm asking rhetorically. And I'll stop here with 10 more seconds because the attorney's looking at me. But I would certainly, again, make the suggestion that all the schools who don't have the resource they need to work with the state board on the status of applications could help in the advocacy effort with the OSBB by supporting a dedicated FTE for school coordinator or part school coordinator, something of that nature. So anyway, that is a belabored update on the Auditor General's report, but never miss an open mic. Madam Chair, Mr. Tapscott?
Yeah, just a question. By the way, thank you. Thank you. I think the only thing inaccurate about what you said was I think the office could require multiple FTEs in addition. And not having a contingency plan is terrifying. that everything comes down on one person's shoulders, essentially. But how closely does our current revenue, licensure revenue, match our current costs for the department?
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Tapscott, the operating balance in the revolving fund right now would operate the board for 3 years. Last fiscal year's funding was 463. So if you take 1.3 to 1.4, for the 3 years, you could actually not charge any licensing fees. But that's not the way it's done. And then remember also, we're a 90-10 board, so 10% of all money raised by licensing fees is contributed to the state general fund. The 90% remaining is put into the revolving fund.
But what? In 1 year, what do we get from 90% of our licensing fees?
You're asking the income in a year from fees?
Yeah, I realize you don't have direct access to it, which isn't crazy to me, but anyway.
Well,
yeah.
Madam Chair, Mr. Tapscott, we would have access to it by going through the legislative process. That is the oversight that the law provides. We, in an average year, we bring in, well, of course, you would ask me that. I don't know the precise figure, but it's over $300,000 per year.
Okay.
I probably need to remind you that during COVID, we waived the renewal fee for all licensees for 2 years, and the fiscal impact on the revolving fund, to be candid, was $950,000. So you would have a higher figure today if we had not done that. We also waived the requirement for continuing education for 24 months. But I would remind everybody that in March of 2020, nobody knew what this was, where we were headed, and the massage institutions were closed down initially by executive order, and then they were reopened but the average practitioner had a severe loss in hours and income, and those two responses seemed to be the right at the time. So looking back now, maybe it could be judged differently, but to waive the hours and the renewal fees was a gesture of partnership with the industry when COVID first hit the streets. So,
thank you.
So we'll keep you posted. The CSB will be working with board staff in the next month. We should have proposed analysis and fee suggestions for your discussion at the August meeting.
And I'm sure we will all have plenty to say on that.
Next issue is, Mr. Tapscott, on the last meeting, I think we've already answered this, but I want to make sure that you got the answer you were looking for. You asked a hypothetical question that if somebody had not sent in an application or a fee, but yet they had been diligent sending in other materials, were those materials retained, or did they literally have to do the sequence over again and resend the materials? And then we admitted the industry secret that everything sent in is retained. But the process does not begin until we have a completed application with a signed signature and then the fee paid with the authorization number. So I want to make sure we covered that.
You did. Thank you.
And then, Madam Chair, just one last thing here. On your next agenda item, you're going to see that the next meeting was supposed to be Monday, July the 24th. And I've consulted with you, and we're going to cancel that meeting and resume in August. And I just wanted to cover that now with you. Thanks. Thanks, board members.
Thank you. In addition to Tom, I wanted to mention regarding the renewal applications, one of the things that I learned pretty recently that happens very frequently when somebody goes to renew their license, they click the payment link thinking that that is their renewal application. So they pay for it, but they don't actually fill out the actual renewal application. And that creates quite a bit of a hiccup as far as processing the renewal license. Mr. Tapscott.
Chair Ryder, I just want to say I just had somebody say that to me yesterday. Where they said, well, I think I renewed and I paid. And I said, well, did you fill out a form? Oh, no. I mean, they said I fill out a form, but they're talking the credit card form.
Correct.
So you're absolutely right. That is part of a multiple-part process, and payment is a great start, but it's not a finish.
Exactly. Yeah, I've had two people reach out to me this past week with the same thing, and that was the missing link. They actually didn't fill out the application. They paid for it, didn't do anything else. Item number 9 on our agenda. As Mr. Egerton has already discussed, at the next meeting we will discuss the massage therapy license expiration date and provide hopefully an action on that discussion. I personally would like to add to the agenda discussion giving the authority to the executive director to grant licenses for those who have been granted a level 1 non-IVP clearance card after obtaining a good faith exemption to include a letter of concern with those licenses granted. With the exception of those involving moral turpitude, I think those should still come before the board. But that's the discussion that I would like to have next time. Just so that it clears up our agenda a little bit, these people have obtained the non-IVP clearance card. It's likely that if it wasn't involving moral turpitude, that we're going to grant the license. I'm not assuming, I'm just saying in most cases they will. So that would be up for discussion. The other board members, do you have anything that you would like to see on the next agenda for August?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Not to interrupt, but do you want to acknowledge Vice Chair Moon? I'm very appreciative of her being here today with her full-time professional calendar. And if you want to either put her on the spot and ask her to say something, okay, then in lieu of that, maybe thank her for her volunteer time on the board and indicate that she's going back to full-time focus on that. And although has not submitted a resignation formally per se, has announced her intent to do so, providing a smoother transition. And if the board gets much smaller, we're going to be meeting in a phone booth, but you might want to thank her for her so forth and so on.
Absolutely, Mr. Overton, and you actually beat me to the punchline. Ms. Moon, we appreciate your service. It's been a pleasure working with you. We appreciate your expertise, and we do hope that as a board and personally and professionally that we can maintain a relationship with you at different capacities and reach out to you for your expert advice when needed. And we appreciate not only what you do for what you have done for the board, but what you do for the public in your full-time practice. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate, I'm honored to have been on the board and shared this time. And I support you guys, and we will definitely still be in touch. As of last week, I was on three boards, so due to me wanting to re-examine work-life balance and definitely give back to the agency that I currently serve. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Our next monthly state board meeting is scheduled for Monday, August 28th, 2023 at 9 a.m. to be held digitally. And if board members don't have anything else, if board staff has nothing else, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you for your attendance.